The hour of 10:30 having arrived, I'd like to call the Illinois Health Benefits Exchange Legislative Study Committee to order. Mr. Clerk, take the roll. Madam Clerk. Eight people having answered the roll, a quorum is present, and we are prepared to do the work of the committee. Who do we have joining us on the phone? Okay, we're expecting a couple of other members, but we'd like to go ahead and get started. I would like to first off thank Dan Long and his staff for their work on the draft report and for seeking comments from basically all of the groups who testified before us over the past meetings that we've done over the past month. In the course of doing that, we requested comments back from the staffs and from those other parties, and we did receive comments back, all of which will be posted online. In addition to, we're having a little phone technical difficulty here. What we've asked is that each member be given all the comments, and they received them earlier this week, plus a summary of the points that the commission and staff felt could be addressed or could be expanded upon. And additionally, they also highlighted for you, if you look at those the copies of the summaries, those in yellow are points that can be expanded upon. Those which are not highlighted are contained within the report. And the items that are in green would be the subject for future report topics as they were not specified in the legislation creating the study commission. The items in blue are, we are at this point, in the staff's opinion, unable to add to the report simply because the federal guidelines have not come down on those. And I think it also shows the continuing need for, in my opinion, this commission staying in place for necessary legislative changes as those rules come down. We're dealing with a lot of unknowns. So I'm glad that we do have this oversight role. My thought was I'd see if any of the other co-chairs had comments that they wanted to make, and then if it's all right, I'd like to go through the summary one point at a time. I'd bring up one, and then we would discuss it, see what everyone thinks. If that's okay, why don't we go to co-chairman Senator Bill Brady for comments.
Thank you, Representative. I concur with what you've said. I think that going through these is a discussion point amongst the committee to determine whether or not we think they ought to be added to the report or not, is what you're saying. And then
yes.
And then go from there.
Further comments? No? Then let's get started. Comment one, which from the calls and the contacts with the commission executive director, Almost all groups submitting comments have spoken about legislators being members of the Exchange Governing Board or having voting powers, and they were very much against that, and that's one common thing. It's been suggested by some of the groups that any legislators who are appointed to the Governing Board be ex officio members, which would be similar to the way the CHIP statutes are structured. So,
I guess I'd ask the...
Yes, Senator Brady.
Can you list those groups? You say almost all. I'm curious as to which groups that were opposed.
Dan Long?
I don't know off the top of my head. We handed out a list of all the responses that received, and I don't know off the top of my head which ones, but yeah, we can go through it and get back. If you want a specific list, we can do that.
We'll have staff take a look through and just tally up those who wanted the ex officio members from those groups, and I'll report that back. Most of the groups that have, and this is commonality between the comments that had come in, most of the groups have also expressed concern about the navigators in the exchange and mentioning them in the report. As the federal regulations are still coming out and being reviewed before final distribution, the role of the navigators and their qualifications are still somewhat unclear. Currently, we don't have guidelines for this, and this is probably one of the heaviest issues. Each of the groups, as you go through there, have brought up questions and concerns on the navigator structure, that being the Heartland Alliance, the insurance agents, the United Food and Commercial Workers, the Illinois Material and Health Coalition, AARP, the Shriver Center, the Academy of Family Physicians. They were also included, the employers and business groups submitted actually a joint statement and list of concerns. They were covered there as well as the health and disability advocates, Planned Parenthood, and the Aid Foundation of the City of Chicago in their testimonies. So we've had a lot of discussions on the role of the navigators. I guess the question before us is for the purposes of the reports, do the navigators need to be the subject of the next step or next phase once we know what the qualifications are?
It just seemed to me that we were charged with developing a report to the General Assembly that discussed discussions about governance and finance. Sorry. We were charged with the responsibility of developing to the General Assembly a report that took input on governance and finance. Anywhere in that report, I don't believe we were charged with defining, even though we heard testimony which helped us better understand, I'm not sure that there's an area in our charge that would indicate we should include anything to do with navigators at this point in time.
And as far as the right charge in here, under the bill that created the commission, where there were items, the committee shall report its findings with regard to the operations of the operating model of an exchange, the size of employers to be offered coverage throughout the exchange, coverage pools for individuals and businesses within the exchange, and the development of standards for coverage and full-time and part-time employees and dependents. These were items that were available, but not limited to the charge. So
And
It was a little bit broader than just those two, and I think that's why we received a lot of comments from each of the groups on them.
Yeah, I guess my position but is...
And I think the staff is agreement that at this point navigator position should be further discussed and not a portion of the report, I think was the point.
Yeah,
from the first
because we don't know enough, I don't want to look like we're slanting one way or another. Obviously, anyone who cares, everything that we've done has been posted in this public document, is the testimony. So I'm just concerned that with the lack of detail from the federal government in some of these areas, that we would risk being slanted one way or another. So I think my recommendation at this point is we would not, as I think you indicated, staff.
Yes, that was staff's recommendation, is with the number of unanswered areas by the feds and the concerns by those groups that have been registered on all different sides of the navigator. We need additional federal guidance, so there would not be included in the report as in the draft itself. There's not a full discussion of the navigator function. I think that was just a statement for, you know, this is what we've received back in comments. Staff is in agreement. Are there any other members who have?
Very briefly, Mr. Chairman, this is COGVA staff, not House and Senate staff. Is that correct?
Yes. This was the collection point through the four comments which we received emails back on. They evaluated them all and looked for commonality between all of the different groups, and then matched them against our charge. Most groups have expressed their preference that the exchange should be a governmental entity, this a quasi-governmental entity. And this provision was included in the reports and its findings and options.
I guess
everyone testified to that.
One of my concerns is that, and I guess it comes back to the number one and then this one, Representative, is when we say most groups in a report, it starts to slant the direction of it. I don't think that, I think we can say this idea was suggested, this came up, but I don't want to see this slant. I understand that, but it wasn't necessarily unanimous by the members of the committee.
Okay, that understood, but as far as the charge of the committee in reporting the facts that were heard in testimony, each of the groups that was before had issued or expressed that as their preference, I think unanimously from the groups before us, and I think that's what the report lays out. And the report actually lays out all of the options. That's just one of the options which listed. It could be in the department, could be quasi-governmental, it could be non-for-profit, and that it isn't a recommendation unless the committee chooses to make it a recommendation. It's one of the options.
Okay.
Further discussion, comments? Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know that we're just getting off to our discussion here. I want to make sure that I'm not being too precipitative here by asking a question about how it is that we arrived at perhaps some of the recommendations. Is it time for that?
There are actually this report, and it was charged, was never to issue recommendations, but options that are available under ACA, as well as those options which have been presented in the course of the testimony. The goal was to present
findings, yeah. And so I just want to make sure that I'm clear before I really start commenting. If we look at page 7, bottom of page 7, top of page 8, and I notice that I draw the committee's attention to the last sentence where it says, as a result of consultations and recommendations from these and many other groups who have testified before the study committee, this report has designated a series of goals and recommendations for an Illinois exchange that fall under the field of an organizational model. So I guess my question would be, who was consulted as far as the difference between recommending an organizational model and
if
as the
report indicates?
If you go
to, on page 7, it is potential goals for the exchange. And we can clarify that throughout there if your concern is that they're recommendations. These are the potential goals which were outlined through the testimony,
right,
and the Wakely report specifically.
Okay, but I would like to just simply go on record requesting a little further discussion and information as to what is most appropriate for the state of Illinois vis-a-vis the organizational model and the developmental model. I don't think that we've actually had that discussion. And so that's just problematic to me. I just wanted to point that out and ask for your guidance in how to perhaps resolve what misapprehensions we may have.
Senator, I have
yes.
to apologize. Could you speak up a little bit? I lost about half of what you said there.
Sorry.
If members could speak more directly into the mic, it'd be helpful.
We'll do. Do the best I can here. So what I had stated is that it seems to be the recommendation of the committee, or at least by way of this report. I understand you use the word potential. That's in the first sentence, but in the second sentence, it states that after consultations and recommendations from these and many other groups that testified, that I'm trying to fast forward here.
Would you request that be removed or changed? How would you propose a change on that?
Thank you. I would ask that it be removed.
Okay, and that staff will any discussion, any objections to clarifying that statement?
I think it brings the question of the whole report having any recommendations. I think that what the senator's pointing to is many of the members of this commission may be apprehensive to vote for something that appears to support a recommendation as opposed to a report that is a statement of fact and opportunity.
If I may respond,
on there, that I think that's, today's detail is to refine the draft report that we're doing, and it's in that framework. But the structure and the reason for the commission itself was to take and collect, open and transparently, the viewpoints from all the groups and present, one, what is required by the feds, and two, what our potential options are without making a recommendation. I would hope our next step would be together we could fashion legislation. But I think for today is to get the, after members have had a chance to look at some of the changes, make changes, and if the concern is that the language can be viewed as a recommendation from the committee, we'll take an action to alleviate that fear. For example, striking that language. Senator Nolan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And briefly, just to clarify, I'm all for recommendations. I think that we should be making recommendations. My statement is that would not, the language that I identify, not be one of them. So I'm okay making recommendations, but I just want to be clear on what those recommendations are. That's all. Thank you very much.
And to that, these are actually the structure, and we put together both the findings from Wakely as well as Deloitte. And you're talking about probably 1,500 pages of material that has been structured in a form where legislators can get an idea of the options that are available. So why don't we go through and look at other areas of concern or other areas of suggestion. And under that format, under factors influencing operational model, I'd like to add in on page 7, third paragraph, sixth line, where it begins actually is end of the sixth line, broader spectrum of political slash professional culpability in governance would be needed for the exchange that intends to be proactive within a variety of areas covered by a developing model. And under culpability, I would look for either responsibility, making a change in that term of art to responsibility, or if one of the legal staff has a better idea for a change there, I'd make that recommendation. You okay? Mr. Nolan.
And I'm sorry for not quite understanding, but are you asking me to comment on your recommendations?
Yeah, I'm basically asking if everybody's okay with that.
Yeah. No, I just have one other when you're ready.
Oh, okay. Are there any objections to making that change? Okay. Seeing none, go ahead and make that change. Further comments, Representative Nolan?
Yeah. On page 8, paragraph 2. Says an exchange should seek enhanced value of health insurance products. I would ask that the first sentence be changed where it reads, as part of its design, an exchange should seek to ensure that health insurance plans offered through it have the maximum value to the consumer. I would ask that value to the consumer be changed to coverage of Illinois residents, so that as part of its design, an exchange should seek to ensure that health insurance plans offered through it have the maximum coverage of Illinois residents.
Okay, and in just talking with staff, and I have no problem with that change. That's actually an exact, taken exactly verbatim from the Wakely report.
Thank you, and I think that would be
any staff's. Members have any concerns about that change? Representative?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Actually, you know, I think that, you know, coverage is important, but I think that keeping value in there as something, you know, that there are a number of things that should, that we, if we enact something that should be helping the citizens of our state, you know, ease of access, value, good quality, and network adequacy or coverage are all important things. So, you know, I don't think you should take out one just to stick in another one.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would be fine with that, just to include maximum coverage of residents.
Okay, staff will add in that change, send a copy of the changes, any things that we agree to here, to each of the members. And they'll also be posted on the website as well. Further changes from members before we return to the comments from the public and groups? We are on item four now, and these are comments that came from the Heartland Alliance for Human Needs and Human Rights. Of the points that they had mentioned, governing boards should include at least one person who qualifies for Medicaid under current or expanded Medicaid eligibility rules, and one person from a community-based provider that serves individuals living under the 200% of federal poverty level. Much of the those items would be subject for legislation, and that is more specific than the naming people to the specific people or organizations is something that we've tried to avoid in the structure of it, and allow that to be in the basis of the framework of legislation. I just put these comments into the record for it. The study committee. Again, they were concerned about the Navigator program, that it should target hard-to-reach vulnerable populations, and the navigators should be compensated following the application agent model for IHFS used for kid care. Again, we do not have the rules and guidelines for the navigator role, and the legislation is specifically to deal with the items that were laid out. So that would be subject for continued work from once we have federal guidelines for the commission. Their concern that they wanted to reiterate was the exchange should not be funded from GRF, but instead from either a surtax on in the insurance industry revenues or an assessment on insurance inside and outside the exchange to avoid participation disincentives. And so this is actually within the report itself. There are all kinds of financing options that are contained within the report, so there's no need to go into that specific. It's covered within the range, was the feeling of staff. Excuse me. Next item, reports and from the agents had a request that there should be more mention of other stakeholders' suggestions, and I would just point out that they are incorporated in the report, but also any suggestions were given were available, are available online from every group that's out there. And they and a lot of the points that they have in those items will be discussed under item 11, where we are looking at doing some expansion. They have joined on with a group of the business and employers. So you'll see those suggestions under item, I believe it's item 11. Let's see, on the United Food and Commercial Workers had comments and wanted to see discussion of enrollment options for part-time employees. These are items that the federal regulations are still being worked out at this time and are not finalized. They've asked that the report review the assessment on employers who do not provide insurance meeting the ACA standards for part-time employees. And those guidelines are still under review. They mentioned the ability to reduce the adverse selection by having insurance companies provide similar plans inside and outside of the exchange. And and that is included in the report itself under the draft. So under item six, that third point is included in the draft. Need safeguards for liability and rules over the navigators, and that's going to be, as we said, that's the one item that all groups had concerns that needed to be fleshed out, and that'd be the subject of future hearings, is the role of the navigator. The Illinois Maternal and Health Coalition wanted community-based providers with outreach experience and people living below the 200% of the federal poverty level, and at least three community of color individuals to serve on the exchange board. And that goes, yes, and the in the report itself, there wasn't a definition of who would be on the board, so that would be a subject of legislation and governance. The exchange should be a market developer. Private plans inside and outside the exchange should share exchange operational costs. That is covered under one of the financing options that are there. Their concern from the Illinois Maternal and Child Health Coalition was also the Navigator program should include all kids application agent network. Again, subject of the role of the Navigator meeting. AARP, which is item number eight, wanted to concentrate decisions on what's best for the consumer and have consumer representation on the board. And under the options that are available, that is included in the report. Developing rules to ensure no inappropriate incentives for brokers and agents steer people from the exchange and to deal with conflicts of interest, et cetera. And that's covered in the Wakely report, ideas of which have been highlighted in the draft. Shriver Center wanted exchange enacting legislation during the 2011 veto session. Governing board members should be free of conflict of interest, which must be clearly defined. Anyone with a role in or relation to insurance industry is conflicted. The governing board representatives should be at least composed of consumer, small business interests, while board as a whole must have technical expertise, including health benefits administration and health care finance. That would be subject for any legislation coming forward, possibly in the veto session. They would like to have the board have representatives from minority and uninsured communities. Mr. Sasha.
Mr. Chairman, again, I certainly understand that we're talking about a recommendation here, but the one that you just read through that kind of took me back, anyone with any role or relation to the insurance industry is conflicted. Would you comment on that, please?
Yeah. And that is something which is not in the report, Jim. That would have to be a decision for the legislation itself. But it has been discussed here. We've done that. So what I'm doing is basically just reporting the comments for the record. And which items, primarily navigator function, which would continue, but there'd be many, many other issues for an ongoing role for this committee. But that is not in the report itself. Okay. Again, they had input to the navigators that they would like to have expressed, and they would like to discuss the possibilities of navigators being benefits experts from community-based organizations, and they should have competency in the exchange, Medicaid, CHIP, and et cetera. The Illinois Academy of Family Physicians issued comments. They would prefer a representation on the board from primary care physicians and consumers. That the legislature should not assess providers for financing of the exchange, and that any plan that meets federal minimum requirements to be in the exchange should also have to meet Illinois-specific requirements. These are, those were items that, as I said, as the continuing plan goes forward, the report has put forward options that are available, and these are all things that can be discussed. From the employers community, are there any discussions on those items? Which the employers community, and these are comments from the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, the Independent Agents of Illinois, the Illinois State Association of Health Underwriters, the Illinois Life Insurance Council, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, the Illinois Insurance Association, Health Alliance, the Illinois Manufacturers Association, National Federation of Independent Business, the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, Humana, United Health Group, and the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and first off, also thanks to Dan Long and the staff from COGFA for really doing a good job at summarizing a lot of it. Yeah, I mean, we heard hours of testimony. There's hundreds of pages of stuff, so thank you for doing the summary. I think the chamber and all these groups make an important point that I think would be universal across all points of view, that we should be careful that the report, I think they use the word agnostic or use the word agnostic in here, that we do not tend to imply in the report that this favors one set of goals or methods over another, that these are merely different options that the legislature can consider as we go forward with the legislation. I mean, there are some of us on here who have different points of view, but I agree that the report should try to be as objective as possible.
With that, there are some items and requests. Yes, Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you say we were going to talk about the green section also? Because I'm looking under the Shriver Center, the last, number 8, the last sentence. I think they state that they believe the navigators should have the competency in the exchange, Medicaid, CHIP, and so forth. Are they suggesting there should be people who have already been trained? Are they neglecting to realize that the people will have to be trained regardless to who they are and, you know, what that background may be, that they should be trained? But I don't want it to be that they're necessarily, say, perhaps from the CHIP group or any of the other groups. But, you know, people have the ability to be trained in these fields.
And that's an excellent point as well, that the green items would be those. That again is the navigator issue, which is not outlined in this report because we don't have the guidelines for what we're required to do for them yet, but is definitely going to be probably one of the biggest discussions and next steps for this committee to define and determine the role of the navigator once we get the federal guidelines.
Okay, I think that's an excellent point, and I think we should be very clear that we're not going to just accept established members of existing groups. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There are some items which we have discussed under item 11. There's been a request that they would like to see the, and these are the business employers group, would like to report the report to list a clear timeline for legislative actions, and basically that'd be taking the timeline, moving it up to the front of the report is what we're doing, just compiling it from the base information. Senator Brady.
You know, I don't disagree with that. I'm not sure we'll come up with an agreement, but as we look at our charge again, I think we need to go back to this. Our job was to report the findings. And I think it's very important that we do that in such a way that it doesn't indicate a recommendation, and that we identify the people who did recommend that. That's the first part of our report. And we could even do it for navigators if we wanted to be that concise. But the last part of our charge is the committee shall also include recommendations concerning prospective action. To me, this is a different part of our responsibility than reporting the findings. I frankly don't have a problem with any of the things that people indicated they'd like to see in the report, because they want to highlight that in what we found out through investigation. This element, clear timeline, may be more difficult. It should be fairly easy for us to agree on what we were presented with. That's fact. The recommendation part of this should be very clearly different from what we were presented with and what we recommend. This timeline, for instance, in action is an important part of the last part of our responsibility, which, frankly, I think we've got a long way to go before we get there on that portion. So I just want to reiterate things like parts of what these comments are parts of what we'll have to deal with in our charge to make recommendations. Other parts are simply a matter of fact and should be included.
And I believe with the timeline itself, I think they wanted just a clear outlay of what the federal timelines are so that they could utilize that for their planning purposes. The federal timelines, if they miss a date on the rules, has an impact on those who are trying to plan their own structures. And I believe that was the reason that they requested, that they wanted up front what the ACA required.
I'm fine with that in the report, that's a matter of fact. But the second part of it, legislative action suggestions, goes deeper into it than the federal timeline. For instance, I think we all know that we don't have to submit a plan for governance until the end of June. So as part of the grant, I believe, which certainly doesn't mean we need to pass governance in the veto.
On that, I think we'd probably disagree, but that would be members. Members would have their own opinions on that.
And that's simply my point, is that
sure.
We need to get rid of the editorial comment in the fact of discovery, other than that which presented it from this committee, and then we need to make recommendations after that part of the report's put together.
So are we okay with listing the a timeline in there, the first portion on there, basically at the front of the report, showing a timeline of what the ACA says are the requirements?
Sure.
It can stay as it is currently. That is just one of the recommendations that came through. So are there any other comments?
Again, Frank, Representative Martino. Again, that is a statement of fact, not a recommendation.
Okay. And we will go with the statement of fact on the clear timeline.
I think Representative Martino, the business groups have asked two things, that we, according to Representative Martino, that we indicate a statement of fact of the federal timeline deadlines. The second part of this phrase or sentence is that We then make recommendations about our own deadlines to meet those deadlines. That again is that's a recommendation of this study group, of this group, not a statement of fact is the point I'm trying to make. And I think that, again, that the first part of our charge is to report back what we've, the fact finding we had, and that is what the various interested parties want, what they want, not ours. Our second part is to come to some recommendation to the General Assembly about how we think we should proceed with this group, and using those facts, what we should do. Two distinctly different things, in my mind. My concern has become that this report becomes more of a, this part of the report is becoming more of a recommendation than a statement of fact. We do have to deal with a recommendation if we can come to one, but that's after we establish what the statement of fact in the report is, through the discovery of the committee aides. Correct. I think that's what Representative Martino indicated.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I don't want to speak for him, but I think that's what. Well, there's two. Yeah.
If I may clarify, too, these are, we have the ability to accept the report as it is without any changes, too. These are recommended changes from the groups. So this isn't a staff recommendation. I'm going line by line through the other groups, what they would like to see. And this body can decide whether to include those comments or not. And each of these comments that I've read today will also be available by group on the website. Senator Steen.
Yeah, I guess I'd just like to ask a process question. So what we're trying to do with the report, I think is what I'm hearing, is that it's going to be sort of more a statement of fact. We're not getting into what this is committee is recommending. Are we going to have a discussion around that, or will that, isn't that not part of the charge of the committee? Sort of what are we going to do with that part two that Senator Brady was referring to?
Actually, with the actions, and some of the members have done this, at this point, members are always free to and are encouraged to put together a framework of what type of governance they would like to see, what type of items. As a matter of fact, Representative Harris has gone forward and placed a full governance structure, turned it into the committee, so it's out there as his idea of a starting framework. And those are all things that are acceptable within the committee. We've actually had asked all groups to do that if they wish, and we've received responses from other groups. And if the committee would like to choose or make recommendations from here, or choose from of these, that can be a discussion we can have as a committee. It's not precluded from doing that. Our task is to show reports, findings, and options. So that would be will of the committee. Representative.
I just want to make clear here, my question then is the discussion or the piece of recommendation, is that going to be done in a committee setting, or are we just submitting our thoughts?
I mean, actually, what we're doing today is finalizing the report. The report was not charged with making recommendations, and so we're making changes to the report, which is then publicly accessible and will be given to each of our members as they go forward to inform them on what our options are.
All right, let me ask this. Are we meeting again before veto session to do that?
Representative, you and I don't agree on that. Section 520 says that the committee shall, committee study no later than an expired date, we shall report all findings on a minimum of certain things, but not exclusive. It then goes on to say we shall also include in our study recommendations concerning prospective action on behalf of the General Assembly as it relates to the establishment of the exchange. So it seems to me that there are two phases that we have to go through here. We have to agree that these are the statement of facts that were included in our discovery, and then a debate about what we recommend this group do and the General Assembly do. Am I not reading that right?
What that language gave in our interpretation from staff is, if the committee seeks to make recommendations, it has the power to, in addition to doing findings, may.
If we can come to an agreement.
If we can come to an agreement.
We certainly should be able to come to an agreement on what the facts presented to us were by the various groups in their opinion.
True.
The idea that we can meet the second part of our obligation may not.
Option as opposed to obligation. We left that as the ability, if there were agreement between the four caucuses on what a structure and framework would like to, we could present recommendations. But our charge is findings and options.
Findings and options.
Available to the General Assembly.
Without editorial comment. The editorial comment only comes if we agree on the recommendations, which brings to Representative Singer's position, and I think after we come to a conclusion here on the facts, if we can come to a conclusion on the facts, then we could determine if we want to go further and make recommendations. But that would take a different discussion.
Likewise, if the group decided that quasi-governmental was a unanimous choice between the group to be brought forward, it would have the authority under the law to say, disregard paragraphs 4, 3, 2, and we will be, we are recommending a quasi-governmental. We would have the authority if we chose to do that.
What do you mean disregard?
Well, when we're telling them to print out the reports and finalize the report, if we wanted to do it as a form of a recommendation, we would have the authority to do that.
Okay. We don't have the authority to include or exclude findings in this report. We're charged with shall report all findings concerning.
Granted, given that, you would report all of those and at the end of it include a paragraph that said, and it would be the recommendation
if
of
we
this
come
committee
to great.
That it should be a quasi-governmental.
Exactly. We're
I thank you for correcting that. Okay, so do we put a timeline in the front of this? Okay. So, move the timeline up front in the report for the federal ACA. Okay, let's go on from there. There is an item which would use the Healthcare and Human Services definition of an exchange as opposed to the Department of Insurance definition of exchange. For this, if we'd like to discuss potential change of the definition, then I'll read both. Okay. Is everyone satisfied with the current definition that's in there? Okay, why don't we go ahead. On the fourth bullet point under number 11, there's been a request that the report should define health benefits exchanged as defined by the Federal Healthcare and Human Services 2010 definition. An exchange is a mechanism for organizing the health insurance marketplace to help consumers and small business shop for coverage in a way that permits easy comparison of available plans options based on price, benefits, and services and quality. The definition that's in there right now is bullet point number 4 is a recommended change from the employer groups. And we're we're getting the page of the report right now. Page two. Okay, you're starting in line three of page two. Using a definition developed by the Illinois Department of Insurance, a healthcare insurance exchange is defined as a transparent, centralized, competitive healthcare marketplace.
Mr. Long, is this comment correct that the business groups make? Okay, well, I would recommend we do whatever is the federal definition.
Okay, we have a recommendation to use the federal definition and have staff check and make sure that is the appropriate definition. I'm sure that's before including it. Any other comments on that? Using the federal definition of exchange versus the department's? Seeing no comments, is that acceptable? Agreed. Okay, that change will be made. Okay, next item is would like a notation that the exchange under Senate Bill 1555 is limited to employers with no more than 50 employees, and that 100 employee benchmark does not start until 2016. Staff said they would be able to clarify that. Mr. Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm sorry to interrupt the current flow of conversation, but I didn't quite get a chance to throw in on item number five or bullet point number five. Are we still on that bullet point or have we moved on? Okay. Well, let me just offer my suggestion for a recommendation. That the report should define a health benefits exchange as defined by HHS. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that in and of itself, but within quotation marks, an exchange is a mechanism for, I would strike organizing and ask for inclusion of the word developing the health insurance marketplace. And continue with the.
Now he wants to change organizing to developing under bullet point five, I'm sorry. So it's second line in bullet point five, changing the word organizing. Then we're changing the federal definition.
We can't change the
right.
federal definition.
So I'm not asking to change the federal definition. I'm just asking that if we're to make a recommendation that we use the term developing as opposed to organizing.
But that
comments?
Yeah, that would happen if and when we get around to making recommendations. I certainly think we should entertain Senator Nolan's recommendation when we get to recommendations. I think the group here is just trying to correct us on the current definition by federal law, and I think it should be reflected as such. Exactly.
Okay. Then I will reserve my recommendation for discussion at a later time. Thank you.
Okay. There are suggestions for changing the wording within the Wakely report when direct quotes were taken for them. Myself, I would object to doing that in the fact that we paid $800,000 for that report and $600,000 for the other, and I think the structure and the comments taken from the wording, we should utilize those. That's my own opinion on those. So wordsmithing on a part of a report that where we're just quoting sections, I would have a problem with.
Representative, I don't think I disagree with you as long as it is in the context that this is their opinion and summarized and not a recommendation.
Okay. Agreement, members of the committee? Okay. Mr. Harris? And each area where those comments or the wordsmithing suggestions come in from any of the groups, if it's taken as direct quotes under there using your framework, Bill is fine. I think members are okay with that. Okay. Let's see. Would like, and so with that, we would be on, the next two are wordsmithing. Would like some changes to the governance structure section to eliminate possible confusion with consumers being able to name their own price for insurance. This I did notice from the report. They would have, where it's, I believe they use Priceline in there, where basically you can pick your own cost for a hotel room. And I think that actually needs to be clarified a little more, that you're not going to be able to say, oh, by the way, I just want to pay this much. You know, give me what it is, because it's not our current structure. If anyone would disagree, that's a point I actually think that they're pretty much on the mark. That, I caught that as I read it. Comments? Staff will send you the change and the suggested language on that. Key points of interest, some of the items under the next point, numerous concerns on key points of interest section include competitiveness is to be derived, products made available and determined. This is an item actually which the Department of Insurance also had some comments on.
Again, I am.
And that's taken, that's actually the items directly from the Wakely report.
I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think some of these comments were made again based on the thought that this was an editorial as opposed to a fact-finding mission. I think as we redefine this as just what we found and not editorial, a lot of these objections would not exist, I would think.
And actually, under those items with the departments, there was a concern with on page 7, second line, end of that line, resulting in, as a result of consultations and recommendations from these and many other groups that have testified from the study committee, this report has designated a series of recommendations. That was brought up by Senator Nolan. That's one of the items they were addressing, and that was the first item that we decided to strike. There, additionally, and these are, and that's, that was our original discussion on potential. So I think that's been addressed. Okay, and that's, that item has, we believe, and the staff believes, has been addressed. They also have the question of possible board composition, and we've had a discussion actually between the chairs on here. There are a number of items for board composition. taking out the example, as that'll be covered in legislation. But I would commend Representative Harris, who has put a framework very, very similar to this. I believe this was derived from one of the staff frameworks of what an exchange could look like. And so that would be, we would strike that, and that would be the structure of any legislation going forward. But we could utilize, if you need to see what one potentially looks like, it's included on the website under Representative Harris's proposal. I'll be submitting a proposal or getting a bill ready later on, should we come to agreement on things.
Did we post the other states who have proposals adopted?
California and Utah.
Colorado
are,
did Colorado do it?
We can add the Colorado model as well.
I just would suggest we update
there,
as states.
California,
adopt them,
Utah,
post
I think were discussed in testimony. But Colorado also has a model, which is
so
one of the items that was recommended.
So we're not going to put proposals in the report, but we're going to make them. We'll reference in the report that there will be proposals and stuff on the website. Is that what you're saying, Representative?
Yeah. Right. This is Greg's. Well, this one isn't Greg's example. Actually, it was a drafting taken from Cherie of our staff that I had asked her to put together what a potential could look like in here as a working framework for legislation. But that may be premature. So Representative Harris has an option of what they look like, and our next steps are actually to discuss formation of a board once we get beyond here. So we'll take that out, the specific out, if that's okay. Any objections to taking that specific example out, as that was a drafting of a framework that I had asked for that was included and probably was premature? Everybody okay with that? Okay. Again, they wanted a discussion of the navigator. You can see the navigators are very, there's a lot of interest in the navigator function going forward. That will be addressed in further meetings and legislation. Okay, the would like to see the duties of the exchange section, and that is note that period enrollment periods, essential health benefits have not yet been finalized by the federal government. Suggestions? Yes, no? Okay. And staff says that's a pretty easy inclusion. You will be receiving copies of any of the changes here for sign off. Let's see. Yeah, the next item would be future role dealing with the eligibility of shift. It was brought up by both the United Food and Commercial Workers as well as the business groups dealing with legislation accounting from the shift in eligibility from 50 to 100, which happens at a future time in 2016. So that would be a future issue? Okay. They also noted that the possibility of an insurer assessment fee is already used to help subsidize the state HIPAA chip pool and is not mentioned in the report, and would like more clear language when discussing claims transaction fees. Under the financing option, basically they wanted some clarification language there in that section. The staff said that's a pretty simple clarification. Seeing no objections. They want the section about severability of the exchange in the face of federal lawsuits at the end. I think that's an item that I had discussed in here and actually discussed at the federal listening session, which I attended with the other chairs. And I think that is subject definitely for the legislation. There are any bills brought forward the discussion of severability. Is there a need to mention that in the report? Any objections? Seeing none. The next item is from the Health and Disability Advocates. And some of this ground you're going to find that we've already trod on as we've gone through the other groups. We're getting down to the last few, so you're going to see a few repeats here. The exchange should have a mandate to ensure best possible rates for consumers. All plans in the exchange should meet Illinois-specific requirements, very similar to what the physicians have said, in addition to the federal ones. Representatives for uninsured should be on the governing board. The exchange should not have a provider fee. That was a twofer. And navigators should not have to be licensed insurance brokers or pay a licensing fee. Those are items I'd simply put into the record. Some have been discussed. Most are for future legislative discussion. And the fee portions are included in the financing options of the report. The PIRG, which is the Illinois Public Interest Research Group, commented that there should be a pro-consumer small business mission and show transparency in budgets and records. They prefer an assessment on all health plans for financing the exchange, which would include the traditionally exempt ERISAs from their testimony, and that no GRF be used, which is good because we don't have any. And that is covered within the body of the report. Staff does believe that. Is there any need to clarify any of those things from that point? Okay. Planned Parenthood expressed the wish that exchanges should have the power to bargain and review insurance rates. The legislature needs to expand the small business definition to 100 employees. Yes, the suggested change or recommendation from Planned Parenthood, which was the exchange should have the power to bargain and review insurance rates, and that is not included in the report.
And it can't be under federal law, right? It has to be the same as, the rates have to be the same as the private sector, don't they? The non-exchange rates have to be the same as the exchange rates?
And we don't have that the structure from the and rules structure yet from the feds, but these are items, as I said, which have been asked for inclusion by different groups. They are currently not in the report. Let's see, any further questions on that? Legislature needs to expand the small business definition to 100 employees. That's been covered in another section. The federal law doesn't move that to 2016, and the charge of this commission were basically 15 under.
Okay.
The Navigator program must ensure no incentives exist to steer people away from the exchange products, and that's a suggestion on their part. Exchange should have strong standards for qualified health plans and advisory committees from a variety of stakeholders. and the ability to, under the governance section, that is covered. And then also that will be more further addressed when we structure the governance of who will be on that. So that's also a further discussion. The exchange should be financed through assessment on insurance company revenue. That's one of the options that's already covered in the report. The exchange should have, I'm getting to the last page, folks. The next item is from the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. The stakeholders should include HIV/AIDS providers, etc. At least three people from communities of color should be on the governing board. Again, when legislation structures the governing board, those are items that will have to be contemplated at that time. They also have an interest in the navigators being trained in hard-to-reach people in a culturally language competent manner, and to receive no compensation for enrolling people in plans outside of the exchange, as a suggestion that is not included in the report, and that is a navigator function for future work and definition by this commission or by legislation. March of Dimes actually sent us their responses this morning, so I commend staff for getting through those and including them on this meeting. Governing board should include representatives of pregnant women, children, infants, people with consumer interest experience and healthcare experience, individuals with maternal child and health and expertise. That is not in the body of the report at this point. That's their wish on the governance board, and that will be structured by legislation. So that's in that discussion, which may take place very shortly. All benefit plans in the exchange should include maternity, newborn care, et cetera. Provider networks must have sufficient access to women's health providers. And there is provisions within the report which do discuss this in general, but not specific, because we don't have the guidelines on base benefit levels. So there are references into it and very broad-based that talk about that option, but again, we need the federal guidelines for that piece. The exchange should have streamlined application process for pregnant women, infants, and children. Enrollment should be available by mail, phone, online, in person, and at events, which would be similar to the All Kids. And that's to the navigator section, so that item will be covered in the in future legislation. They had a request that pregnancy would trigger special enrollment periods. Again, that's benefit covered. We do not have that information from the feds at this point. In catastrophic plans, which would then switch to a more comprehensive plan as a qualifying life event. Exchanges should coordinate with Medicaid and CHIP, and that'll happen people will move back and forth between that, especially within that 133% to 200% of federal poverty level. Private plans offering coverage in Medicaid and CHIP should be allowed to supply commercial coverage through the exchange to foster continuity of care. And those are the recommendations that staff had for us for discussion, not recommendations, but items for discussion from all the groups before us. We have okayed most of those that we can from this point, and staff has highlighted out. This sheet will be available to everyone. It'll be up on the portal today. In answer to Senator Brady's question on number one some hour ago, sorry about the length of that, but organizations who feel legislators should be on the board only as non-voting members in their testimony were. the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, Heartland Alliance, Illinois Maternal Child and Health Coalition, AARP, Sergeant Shriver, National Center on Poverty Law, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, Independent Insurance Agent, the Illinois Association of Health Underwriters, Illinois Life Insurance Council, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, Aetna, Illinois Insurance Association, Health Alliance, Illinois Manufacturers Association, Health Alliance again, they don't want us on there twice. National Federation of Independent Business, the Retail Merchants Association, Humana, Illinois Health Group, the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, Health and Disability Advocates, Illinois Public Interest Research Group, Planned Parenthood of Illinois, probably my wife Lena too on that list. Okay, so those are the items who the folks who in testimony have asked for as far as the governance board specifically in their testimony that the legislatures be ex officio members, I believe was the term that they used. Representative Davis, I almost said Senator Davis.
Well, no, not yet, thank you. Mr. Chairman, can we discuss the reasons people may not want legislators on the exchange? What do you think those reasons might be? Greg knows? Rashady, okay, Greg.
Well, I think the idea with it is that the idea in creating the exchanges was to take it and make it as apolitical as possible and not subject to some of the whims. Plus, there are other items that may impede it. I'm going back to what some of the folks had said through their testimony, but primarily their concern was stated in testimony along those lines. They wanted to be this the exchange and marketplace set up as apolitical as possible, but they the legislative members as the same rank and level as the heads of agencies, kind of like we do with the CHIP board, where the members are on there and the as ex officio members, as are the heads of the agencies who are specifically involved in that structure. The other reasons, I can only get, I'll leave that to you.
Well, my concern was, you know, sometimes a group will decide something should occur and not realizing the legislative process or timelines with the legislature, they, you know, come up with grand ideas, but if they haven't run it by or if a legislator's not available, then, you know, sometimes time is wasted or perhaps the request is not put in an adequate form. But have other states decided that legislators cannot participate on the exchange?
And actually, that moves us to the next part of the agenda, but I believe Senator Brady has requested.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd request a 15-minute recess.
And that will be granted. So a 15-minute break. It is now, what time? It's now 12, quarter after. We'll see everybody at 12:30. At this time, we'd go ahead and resume. Committee be back in order. Thank you for the break. We're going to discuss next steps on some of these items and where we're at. I appreciate the members having taken time to look at the comments from other groups and to make some changes. Mr. Long and the staff are going to summarize those changes, send them to each of the members to make sure that they're in compliance with what the agreements were to change. So we'll have a listing of that of each of those items. Senator Brady, did you have any?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I think that's a good next step. Subject to call of the chairs, we may get together prior to veto. Worst case, we'd get together during veto.
Agreed. And the clerk's going to call each of the members as soon as we get those to make sure they've received them and find out if those were acceptable changes, report back to us so that we can finalize the report. Next steps also a continuing role for the commission. The commission, upon finalizing this report, will have completed its task in reporting those facts and items open and transparently and reporting those out to the public. Next steps are members will have to look at legislation. I have asked for a bill to be released from the Rules Committee. I would suggest the other chairman also ask for a bill to be released from their identify legislation, which could potentially be used in the veto session. If the caucuses can come to agreement on issues and timelines that need to be met, Mr. Harris has put forward an option. I have also asked the governor's office to present a framework to us. I would like to see how they envision that the function of an exchange, including governance structure. I'd like to see where we have commonality. Our staff, Cherie, all of the staffs, incidentally, I wanted to thank from all four caucuses, have done excellent jobs in working with the commission and commission staff to make this possible. Cherie has come up with a framework that I have, and I think that as we look towards legislation, any of the members that would like to submit those, and the governor as well, I'd like to have them. And then we'll move forward. Closing, any additional comments from chairman, members of the committee? Why don't you know what do we feel? And we've had individual comments in here, and this is a very timely item for us. On page 19 of the report, section 520 under the bill, it says including an ongoing role for the legislative study committee or other oversight of the exchange. And what's the feeling of the members should be the in the report itself, do we want to include an ongoing role? As for myself, I believe there should be one in there on the commission. I think over the next couple of years, there's going to be need for changes in legislation. There may be needs for reaction to federal rules. I think that, like the toll authority, we require them to come before different committees to report. I think the executive director may want to have a reporting requirement to whoever serves on this committee, since we will be dealing with state money impacts on agencies, IT, and some of the actions that may be required. I think the legislature has an important role. So for me, I'd like to see us continue and some statement to that effect issued in the report. That's just my feeling. I think that the reason that Senator Hayne and I asked for this commission in the first place is for a couple of years around different issues, there was a lot of a lot of things negotiated between different stakeholders. And it wasn't done publicly. I think this is a better way to do it. I think the legislature needed the oversight for this. Some of us have differing opinions. That's fine. But we're going to have a role, and this will be potentially one of the most important issues that members on either party will face. So I'd like to see this go forward. Inclusion in the reports on an ongoing role. I know any legislation we do should have a section dealing with that.
I don't disagree with you at all, Representative. What I might recommend, because we probably have differing opinions on that, is that we ask for What about the thought that we ask for an extension to the second charge, and we could, in the report, we simply say that we were unable, due to time frame, to discuss recommendations, and we would ask for an extension through the end of the year to see if we can come up with some recommendations, which very well may include what you've suggested.
I would, the only change that I would make in there is I think the committee, under the statute of the law, has fulfilled its function. The option for recommendation is always open to any members, and personally I'd like to see us do that in the form of a bill sponsored by the four chairmen of this committee and any members of the committee who have put in the who have all put in the time.
We certainly have had some oversight, and I think the last sentence charged us to come up with recommendations.
As opposed to charged, it actually gave the option that if there was a comment, if everyone here said, you know, it should be quasi-governmental, 19-member board, 11 members voting, and this is what it should be, we wanted to make sure in the legislation that we gave the authority and the ability to do that. But the charge itself was just clear, concise, what are our options, what do we have to do from it,
Mr. Long could read the last phrase of the charge.
Maybe
I'm misunderstanding.
From section 520, is that what you're wanting, Senator? Item A, let's see, the operating amount of the exchange be the size of the employees to be offered, coverage through the exchange, coverage pools for individuals and businesses within the exchange, and D, the development of standards for the coverage of full-time and part-time employees and their dependents. The committee study shall also include recommendations concerning prospective action on behalf of the General Assembly as it relates to the establishment of the exchange in 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014.
And that's the part I don't think we've dialogued in. That I would ask for an extension through the end of the year that we can take the knowledge that the members of this committee have gained to see if we can come up with something. That's all I'm referring to. I'm sorry, I didn't have a copy of the time.
Representative Harris.
Yeah, I think the idea of extending us, you know, makes some sense by whatever mechanism we do it to continue to make recommendations. I just want to, you know, draw the attention that I remember to what the insurers told us when they came and testified. As we look at this, regardless of, you know, the fact that I think March of 2012 is the absolute drop dead deadline for the federal funding that we have to meet, the insurers who testified said they will need some guidance long before that from the legislature so that they can begin to adjust their systems and do their planning and whatnot. So I think we also need to not let grass grow under our feet.
Senator Staines.
Yeah, no, you had asked originally about an ongoing role for this legislative committee, and I'm certainly okay with maybe having something in there around that, but I would just want to acknowledge that there's other ways of having legislative oversight for an ongoing exchange as well. I'm not sure we've actually sort of dialogued about those. I think other states have done it where they have their standing insurance committees. I think there's different ways. I think having some sort of an ongoing oversight role is key and important to do. I'm not sure I know what the right mechanism is for it because I'm not sure I've really seen the options discussed. I also think that that's probably in context of, I think, item number one that we'd heard about with the very many groups who are suggesting that any legislators who are on the exchange might be ex officio, that I think that might make some sense, particularly if there is some other way of having legislative oversight on the exchange. So there may be some context there that makes a difference as well.
Further comments? Senator Nolan.
Mr. Chair, to both Senator Brady and Representative Harris's points, I agree we shouldn't let grass grow under our feet here, but I do recognize the need for further evaluation. I'm not sure that we have a set of recommendations here. I see a set of findings, but I'd like to see something perhaps a little more formal. And ultimately, you know, whether we like it or not, I think we have to vote on recommendations, or we have to kind of come to some consensus one way or the other as to what our recommendations are. If we wait until the governor and the executive branch offers theirs, and we also are better able to kind of formalize ours and bring them together for further consideration, I think that would be a good thing. Whether or not it happens by veto session or it happens sometime next session, I'm not sure is ultimately the issue. I think what we need to do is this body, this group of people who have ascended the learning curve over the last 2 months, need to make some observations and present some recommendations. I don't see that we've actually done that here, so I would urge that we meet at least once or perhaps twice here sometime in the near future. When those dates are, I defer to the body, to the members here, to perhaps further discuss. But I would agree that we need to keep the band together, and we need to further define and better define what our response to the enabling legislation was. Thank you.
Senator Hayne.
Two points. One is that the NFIB, among others, an organization for which I have a great deal of respect, stated in their testimony that an exchange was a good idea per se, irrespective of what happens to ACA. And it's a positive step for the insurance market, for small business, and others. And having the legislative oversight, I've always favored some role for us to assure that the exchange is a positive force and doesn't run amok in the marketplace and it destroys the marketplace. That's what NFIB was saying, in effect, I believe. My second point is this: consistent with that, we have strained, thanks to Leader Martino's leadership and all of us here, to make this a bipartisan effort to address this. And I want to preserve that as much as we can, and therefore to accommodate both parties in the different caucuses as much as we can, while keeping in mind the need to proceed at some point, and not just keep punting through next year and then have the citizens wonder if this is just a political football or just becomes another Illinois mess, a result of the dysfunction of a state. You see what I'm saying? I just think we have to proceed. It's a positive thing. It doesn't indicate anyone is for or against any specific agenda of the ACA or those who promoted the ACA. It's Illinois' effort to establish something unique to Illinois and an example to the nation of how this thing should work with a bipartisan effort.
Representative.
I guess my thinking through and looking at what we've done so far and looking at what has to be done next, and we can't, I'll talk into the thing. Looking at what we've done so far and when looking at this committee and looking at how this was structured and how you've done a good job working it all together, I thought that we were going to be the body that was going to at least have some recommendations, some say on what the next step is. And my concern about not, I'm not slowing it down, but my concern here is that no matter what we do, even if we don't make the recommendations, the thoughts, the discussions are going to have to be had. And what's really nice about this group right now is that we were the ones that have the fact-finding emotional piece of it. We've listened to all the individuals that have come in and testified here. So we're really the ones most equipped to make the best decisions going forward. See what I'm saying? So I'm, you know, I would like to be, you know, making recommendations here. I think we would really do the whole process a lot of good, because we've spent the time and energy to do that.
Thank you. My hope is that, and I appreciate those comments, and my hope is that legislation comes from this body and that it is agreed, it moves us forward, it allows us to receive the federal monies for those systems which the state needs, and that we're in compliance, and most of all, that we don't allow the feds the opportunities to come in and do this. I think we should control that destiny. So with that, further comments? Executive Director, anything from you, Dan? To the staffs. To the staffs and Dan, excellent job. We look for very quickly getting the changes that were agreed to, and then our clerk will poll the members. If we have agreement and they're okay with that, we can get set to do a public release in a proper form. I have a motion from Representative Harris that the commission stand adjourned.